Lord, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Good morning. Thank you for joining us this morning on this, the third Sunday after Epiphany. My name is Karen Lorenz Borowski Dowdle, and I will be leading you this morning as we worship and sing praise to our God. We hope you feel as if you are here with us in person, and we certainly hope you are blessed as you hear the good news of God's love for you. Our order of worship is Divine Service 2 on page 158 of Lutheran Worship. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, God Himself is Present, hymn number 206 in Lutheran Worship.
God Himself is present, let us now adore Him, and with all appear before Him. God is in His temple, all within keep silence, prostrate lie with deepest reverence. Him alone, God, we own. Him, our God and Savior, praise His name forever. Lord Himself is present. Hear the harps resounding. See the host, the throne surrounding. Holy, 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 hear the hymn ascending, songs of saints and angels blending. Bow your ear to us here. Hear, O Christ, the praises that your church now raises. Light of light eternal, all things penetrating, for your rays our soul is waiting. As the tender flowers willingly unfolding, to the sun their faces holding. Even so would we do, light from you obtaining, strength to serve you gaining. Come, celestial being, make our hearts your dwelling, every carnal thought dispelling. By your Holy Spirit, sanctify us truly. teaching us to love you only. Where we go here below, let us bow before
Good morning. The Lord be with you. Blessings and greetings to you in the name of Jesus. It's good to be with you, good to worship with you this morning. I don't know about you, but it's a refreshing sound in here this morning. The organ's back, so it means Lois is doing a lot better, and that's the bigger part of it all. We're glad that Lois is doing better. The instrument is just an extra bonus, so praise be to God for your healing, Lois. It's so good to hear you up on the organ again. We are going to follow the order of service as it is printed before you in your worship bulletin. We'll continue now with the confession and the absolution. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us, forgive us, renew us, and lead us. We may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake he forgives us of all our sins. As a called and ordained servant of the Word, I therefore forgive you of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, Heavenly King, Almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father, receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, your loving kindness always goes before us and follows after us. Summon us into your light and direct our steps in the ways of goodness that come to the cross of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. Please have a seat.
Join us now as we sing our family hymn, Jesus Loves Me.
Are we weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me still, though I'm very weak and ill, that I might from sin be free, bled and died upon the tree. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, this I know, as he loved me long ago, taking children on his knee, saying, let them come to me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he who died, heaven's gates to open wide. He will wash away my sin. Let his little child come in. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Jesus loves me, he will stay close beside me all the way. Thou hast bled and died for me. I will henceforth live for thee. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so.
The lector this morning is Sue Bloom. May God open our hearts to receive the word he speaks to us through Sue.
The first reading is from Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 4. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in responsive reading of Psalm 8 as printed in your worship bulletin.
Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens. Through the praises of children and infants, you have established a stronghold against your enemies to silence the foe and the avenger. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them, human beings that you care for them? You have made them a little lower than angels and crowned them with glory and honor. You made them rulers over the works of your hands. You put everything under their feet, all flocks and herds and the animals of the wild, the birds in the sky, the fish in the sea, all that swim the paths of the sea. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth.
The second reading is taken from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 18. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this: one of you says, I follow Paul, another, I follow Apollos, another, I follow Cephas, still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Alleluia, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia, alleluia.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Holy Gospel is taken from St. Matthew, the 4th chapter, verses 12 through 23.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When Jesus heard that John had been put in prison, he withdrew to Galilee. Leaving Nazareth, he went and lived at Capernaum, which was by the lake in the area of Zebulun and Naphtali, to fulfill what was said through the prophet of Isaiah, "Land of Zebulun and land of Naphtali, the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people living in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of the shadow of death, a light has dawned." From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come follow me," said Jesus, "and I will send you out to fish for people." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called to them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him. Jesus went throughout Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness among the people. This is the gospel of our Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Having heard God's word, we confess our faith together now in the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Please have a seat.
Please join us now as we sing our sermon hymn, "Here I Am, Lord."
I have heard my people cry, all who dwell in deepest sin, my hand will save. I who made the stars of night, I will make their darkness bright. Who will bear my light to them? Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart. I, the Lord of snow and rain, I have borne my people's pain. I have wept for love of them, they turn away. I will break their hearts of stone, give them hearts for love alone. I will speak my word to them. Whom shall I send? Here I am, Lord. Is it I, Lord? I have heard you calling in the night. I will go, Lord, if you lead me. I will hold your people in my heart.
Dear brothers and sisters, Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't know if I mentioned it to you last week or not. Maybe I did. I can't remember. But as I was kind of thinking about the direction as we're moving into a new year, I kind of decided that in the off season, when we're not in a special series or a special worship type cycle like we do during Advent and Lent, Easter time, I'm going to reflect on some of the Psalms a little bit more. I've been doing this now for 12 years. This will be my 12th year here, coming in June. And I think that I go through my library of sermons and maybe I have one or two sermons on the Psalms. And the Psalms are beautiful, aren't they? Just remarkable. A remarkable resource for us in the many seasons that we find ourselves in life. And so this past week I went through and I went through the Psalms and I looked at different Psalms, the popular ones, and just kind of said, all right, these are the ones I'm going to try to work with. And I went in kind of an off order. Last week, if you remember, I talked with you about Psalm 27. Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I be afraid? And I went that way specifically because I knew some stuff and I wanted to make sure that I brought it right away. And so that's why I started with Psalm 27, but now I'm going to kind of go back and I want to talk to you today about Psalm 8, which was that responsive reading that we read just a few moments ago. And I'm going to highlight particularly these words: Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. When I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you are mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You have made them a little lower than the angels and crowned them with glory and honor. On Christmas Day in 1968, which was a long time before I was born, I don't even think I was a thought. I must have been a thought to you in 1968, Mom. I can only imagine how you must have dreamed about me and my coming. She's not denying it. Well, anyway, on Christmas Day in 1968, the three astronauts of Apollo 8 circled the dark side of the moon, and they headed for home. And suddenly, over the horizon of the moon rose the blue and white Earth,
garland by the glistening light of the sun against the black void of space. Now, when they saw this, these sophisticated and trained men of science and technology, when they saw this, they didn't utter Einstein's name. They didn't go to the poets, the writers, or the authors. You see, the only thing that could truly capture the awe-inspiring thrill and meaning behind that magnificent sight was what they uttered. And billions of people heard the voice that day from outer space as the astronaut read, "In the beginning, God." You see, that was it. That was it. There was no other explanation to what they saw. No other explanation could do it. The only answer to that unspeakable awe that day was, "In the beginning, God created." Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory in the heavens, cried the psalmist. And what a remarkable glimpse that must have been. Truly, truly breathtaking. Now for us, I suppose it's hard to really comprehend and appreciate the massiveness and the magnificence of what they saw. And it's hard for us maybe to comprehend and put our heads around what not only what they saw, but the whole of creation. Being real, we're somewhat limited when it comes to exposure to the massiveness, aren't we? But to paint a picture, a sort of picture for you, I want to share with you something that Philip Yancey, he's a very famous Christian author, Philip Yancey once wrote, which I think can help us to appreciate the scale of the universe a little bit more, but even more than that, to help us appreciate the magnificence and the power of our God. Here's what he wrote. "If the Milky Way galaxy were the size of the entire continent of North America, our solar system would fit into a coffee cup. Even now, two Voyager spacecrafts are hurtling towards the edge of the solar system at a rate of 100,000 miles an hour. And I thought 130 miles an hour in a car once was pretty awesome. 100,000 miles an hour. For almost three decades, they have been speeding away from the Earth, approaching a distance of 9 billion miles. When engineers beam a command to the spaceship at the speed of light, it takes 13 hours to arrive. Yet this vast neighborhood of our sun, in truth, the size of a coffee cup, fits along with several hundred billion other stars and their minions in the Milky Way, one of perhaps 100 billion such galaxies in the universe. To send a light speed message to the edge of that universe would take 15 billion years. It's massive. It's huge. And our God is behind it all. As we think about the detail and the beauty of it all that surrounds us, and the reality that this didn't just happen by chance, how can you and I not do but the same as the psalmist and cry out, "Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. You've set your glory in the heavens."
All praise to our God, our eternal Creator, who created out of nothing by a word and called all good things into existence. And here's the next best part. That includes you and me. In the immensity of creation, with billions of galaxies, you and I, well, we're literally just a speck. But the beauty of our faith tells us that although we are only one of millions of others, God is mindful of us, and God cares for us. That's what the psalmist tells us this morning, isn't it? Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all of the earth. When I consider your heavens, the works of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is mankind that you're mindful of them? Human beings, that you care for them. You know, it's remarkable enough to think about all that God created. It's remarkable enough to think about all that God created around us. But how amazing and how incredible it is to know that our God is so in touch with His creation, that our God is so powerful that He still creates and He still yet provides for you and for me. My friends, like an artist who creates a masterpiece, God carefully formed each of us in our mother's womb. He breathed into us the breath of life. And out of all of the good things that He created, we're the epitome of His creative work. You and I are the crown of His creation. And how He knows us, and how He loves us. You see, God isn't just some distant God. He's personal. And so personal is our God, that God the Son, our Jesus, came in flesh for us. You see, because the separation that came with sin was such a real threat, God didn't want that separation to be there. He had to do something about it, right? And Jesus did something about it. He died. He rose. He restored us, a fallen creation, to be the crown of creation once again, now and forever. He did it all so that you and I might be connected with our personal God. He did it all out of love for you and for me. And it's this love for us, this personal love, that is still ours right here and right now. You know, St. Augustine once said, God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. Get your head wrapped around that for a second. God loves each of us as if there were only one of us. What a powerful statement that is. As big as everything is around us, as populated as this world is, God's love is ours personally. It's always strong. It's always for us. It's always in our reach. It never, ever fades. It never fails. And it's a love that shapes our love. A love that sees the needs of others first and responds. A kind of love that doesn't justify and rejoice in wrongdoing or selfish motivation. A love that sees the value of all human life and the value of all stages in human life. And it's a love that helps us to see our worth and the worth of others around us. You know, in this world, it's so easy sometimes to feel beaten up. It's easy to feel torn down, discouraged, maybe at times to see ourselves as unlovable, useless, ungifted, not as good as the next guy. But God's creative work and his never, ever ending and never failing love tells us something much different. We, you and me, are the crown of his creation. We're his handiwork, loved and lovable, gifted, unique, and beautiful. You know, last summer, for the first time, when I was out in Allegheny, so I've taken this taking picture thing kind of seriously. I had to take a burner recently, but I've really found a lot of joy in taking pictures in different places. Well, last summer in Allegheny, I got into taking Milky Way photos. Anybody ever done that before? So to make it happen or to make it work, it has to be true dark. All right, and so that usually happens. You have to watch a kind of calendar or whatever for that particular day, and it tells you when true dark is, and it's usually later after 11 o'clock. And so we would venture out real late into these real dark places, surrounded by woods and coyote and bear. It was nerve-wracking at times. But anyway, we would venture off into these spots and set the camera on the tripod, because you had to have your camera on a tripod. Your shutter speed is so slow that even the slightest bit of movement to that camera would cause the entire picture to blur. And so the camera would be set, and you'd aim it up, and at least for me, and hope that you got a good spot in the sky. And then I would hit the release button. And within a matter of seconds, a picture appeared on my screen. When I finally figured out the camera settings and that first shot processed, I was in awe. It was unbelievably beautiful. I saw so many stars in the sky. I don't know if you realize how many stars there are up there. It was simply breathtaking. I saw the sky like I had never, ever seen it before. And it was probably one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen. Well, as I thought about that this week, as I was thinking about this psalm, it helped me to realize something, to see something like perhaps I've never seen before. You see, right before me, every single day, every single weekend, is a most beautiful sight, a beautiful scene, like no other. Right before me, every day, every weekend, is God's remarkable and unique creation in the people that he surrounds me with. Each of you. Unbelievably beautiful. Unbelievably brilliant. As God's love radiates through each and every one of you. And as beautiful as that night sky was, it had nothing on what I'm blessed to see every single day in the countless people that God has placed in my life. People just like you, who make up the crown of his creation. You know, I think sometimes we take for granted the beauty of each other and the gift that we have in one another. The crown of God's creation. Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
This is your Hour with God, broadcast on tape delay from St. John's Lutheran Church, Depew, New York, at exactly 1300 on your AM dial, Radio WXRL. The congregation's offerings are now being gathered by the ushers. This morning's radio broadcast is sponsored by John and Kathy Fergale in celebration of 51 wedding anniversary. We offer our thanks for God's many blessings. Also, the flowers on the altar are given by the Herbold family in honor of Nani and Papa Fergale's 51st wedding anniversary. May their love continue to shine.
Join together now in speaking the offertory. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Amen. In addition to those who are printed in the prayers in your worship bulletin, please say a special word of prayer for Rose Cantella. Last week we mentioned in the prayers that she was going to have surgery, a long-awaited surgery, by the way. But Rose is now home. She's recovering. She's doing well. And so we're rejoicing and thanks to God for the gift of healing that he's brought to her. Recovery is kind of lengthy. So it's going to take some time for her to be where she needs to be. So please continue to keep her in your prayers that her recovery goes smooth and quick. But also, if you would, say a special word of prayer for Ross as well as he cares for her. For Don Kelm, Don was hospitalized this past week with some cardiac-related issues. So please keep Don in your prayers, but also say a special word of prayer for Gail and the rest of the family, as these are anxious times for them. For John Kilinowski, John is going to be having some surgery on his knee at the end of this month, and so please keep John in your prayers. We say a special word of prayer for Ed Walsh. Ed is going to be having a procedure tomorrow morning, so we pray that God's blessings would be upon Ed, and that that God would bless the doctors and the nurses and anesthesiologists and all that who will be taking care of him tomorrow. We pray for Rochelle Menard after Buffalo. Rochelle, too, is going to have a minor procedure tomorrow, so we keep her in our prayers and ask God's blessings upon the doctors and nurses that will be caring for her. Last but not least, it gives me great joy to announce to you the birth of Beth and Brad Lynch's first granddaughter. So I got a message last night from Brad in Maryland that Eric and Julia had their baby. It was a little nerve-wracking from what I understand at the start. Baby had some minor issues, but they were able to get things where they needed to be. But they're rejoicing now in the addition to their family. Baby's name is Grace. Good name. Named after somebody very special in their family, I'm sure. As we all here remember Grace Blackwell and the impact that she had, of course, on our congregation. As Brad shared with me last night, some of the intensity of what was going on before the baby was born, I said, you know, and he shared with me the name in this email. I said, it's amazing to me always how grace comes to us just when we need it. And so that's the truth. So we rejoice and give thanks to God for baby Grace, for Eric and Julia, for Beth and Brad, as they rejoice in this most remarkable gift. Let's pray. In the light of Christ and with an increase in joy, let us pray to the Lord on behalf of his church and all people according to their needs. That the light of Christ may continue to shine among us through the joyful preaching of the gospel, and that his light may shine where the darkness of unbelief still holds people captive to sin and death. Let us pray to the Lord. That the Church of Christ may enjoy unity of doctrine and a spirit of harmony in the work that God has given her to do, and that the Lord may prosper this work by supplying her people with faithful pastors and church workers, let us pray to the Lord. That this congregation may be strengthened by the preaching of the gospel and the faithful administration of the holy sacraments, and that God may bless those who hear and confirm them in his holy faith and fear all their days, let us pray to the Lord. That every Christian may learn God's word and teach the faith to family and children, and that each may be bold in telling the good news of Jesus Christ to all those within their acquaintance and care, let us pray to the Lord. That the nations may enjoy peace, that we may know the gift of good and faithful leaders in our land, and that justice may be served in every place for the good of every people and for the protection of the unborn and the weak, let us pray to the Lord. That the Lord may give healing, comfort, and peace to the sick in their afflictions, to the troubled in mind, to the grieving in their loss, and to the dying. Today we especially pray for Ross and for Don, for John, for Ed, and for Rochelle. We pray for all of those who are printed in our worship bulletin, our friends, our family members, and anybody else that we name before you in our hearts, that they may know the comfort of God's presence and be sustained in every single trial. Let us pray to the Lord. That the lonely may find welcome and consolation within the fellowship of God's people, and that those who sorrow may not despair, but find hope in Christ. Let us pray to the Lord. Everlasting Father, you are the source of all life, and every good gift comes from you. Help us to honor your gift of life from conception to its natural end. Help us to guard those most in danger and to resist the forces that would cheapen life or rob it of the dignity you have placed upon it by giving your only Son to redeem us, lost and condemned sinners. Hear us, we pray, on behalf of him who gave his life for us, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. We pray together now as our Lord has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, receive the blessing of the Lord. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine on you and be gracious to you.
The Lord look upon you with his favor and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Closing hymn is O Savior, Precious Savior, hymn number 282 in Lutheran Worship. The people of St. John's are glad you have joined with us in our worship this morning. St. John's Church is located in the center of Depew, one block northeast of the intersection of Transit and Broadway at 67 Litchfield Avenue. As Lutherans, we believe that we are being saved by the grace of God alone, that we know about that grace from Scripture alone, and that God's grace acts in and to us only through our faith. Please worship with us in person in the near future.
Oh, name of might and favor, all other names above, we worship you, we bless you, to you alone we sing. We praise you and confess you, our holy Lord and King. O bringer of salvation, so marvelously wrought, yourself the revelation of love beyond our thought. We worship you, we bless you, to you alone we sing. We praise you and confess you, our holy Lord and King. In you all fullness dwelling, all grace and power divine, your glory all excelling, God's Son, O Savior mine. We worship you, we bless you, to you alone we sing. We praise you and confess you, our holy Lord and King. O grant the consummation of this our song above, in endless adoration and everlasting love. Then shall we praise and bless you, where perfect praises ring, and evermore confess you, our Savior and our King.
Please have a seat. Good morning. Good to be with you. Good to worship with you this morning. A very, very special word of welcome to some guests and visitors who are here with us this morning. I hope that you've been blessed in your time and your worship here. I'm very pleased to see, remind me of your name again. Dennis, knew it. I knew it. Dennis,
I met Dennis at Tops this past week. I think I was going in for mozzarella cheese. And I ran into Dennis in the lobby, and I don't know how we just got started talking, but we started talking, and somehow in the conversation it came out that I was a minister, and you said you were going to come and visit, and, well, you kept your word. So, Dennis, welcome. It's so good to have you here, and thanks for initiating the conversation with me this week, and again, I hope you were blessed here, and I hope that we'll be able to see you again sometime in worship. And again, I see some other new faces here. Welcome to St. John's. Thank you. Thank you so much for being here. What a blessing it is to have you here. There's a little baby that's new in the back, and that makes me super happy. Everybody, yeah, just turn around and look at that little baby back there. What a beautiful thing that is. This weekend, In the life of our nation, in the life of our church, it's a weekend where there's the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and we really, as Christians, put such a remarkable and much necessary emphasis on the gift of life, in the beauty of life as God has given it to us. And what a fitting psalm it was for us this morning in Psalm number 8. Really, I think, helps us to reflect on the beauty of one another, the beauty of this preciousness of life that we've been given. Babies, what a wonderful thing that is. Just a blessing, man. And every aspect, every season of our life, even when it's not the easiest, is a blessing. And so this is the weekend that nationally we really emphasize the gift of life from conception to natural death. And so all praise to God for life. What do I want to tell you? Announcements. Your 2020 offering envelopes are out in the fellowship area. If you have not picked them up yet, please make sure that you do that. If you have had offering envelopes in the past and you don't see them out there, let me know. I can look up your number and try to see where they are. If you have not had offering envelopes and would like offering envelopes, let me know, and I can make sure that you get those. Your 2019 financial statements are also out there, so make sure you grab your statement. If you have not grabbed it already, you're going to want that for your taxes this year. So just grab those before you go. Up and coming, we're moving pretty quickly into February, and the big event that we've got going on in February, of course, is our annual dinner, which will be on February 21st at 6 o'clock. That's going to be tied in, however, with the annual spaghetti dinner and our 125th anniversary kickoff. So tickets will go on sale for that dinner next week. Next week is the first weekend of February. Yep, so they'll go on sale next week. The tickets are $5 a piece. That'll include your meal and whatever that meal includes. I assure you it is spaghetti and meatballs, but I'm not sure what else everything else is going to look like yet. So that'll include your meal. It will include your beverages, your dessert, and also it will include in that ticket price a little stemless wine glass with our logo and the wine toast that we will have, and thanks to God for 125 years of His grace in our community and beyond. So that's what's going to happen there. Exciting, especially this year, because the basement has had a complete makeover. I don't know if you've been down there or not yet, but I want to make sure that I give a special word of thanks to Larry and also Guy Ramey. These guys have been working crazy hard the last couple of weeks to get the basement looking fresh. And I don't want to call it the basement. The basement sounds too dungeon-like. So we're going to call it the
Lower Fellowship Hall
or something like that.
I don't know.
Somebody want to come up with a name for it, let me know. But basement. But anyway, it looks, it's not done yet, It's getting there, but it is absolutely beautiful down there. The walls have been painted. There's a new floor that's been put in. So if you want to take a step downstairs and check it out before you go, it's awesome. It really is. So to Larry, Guy, thank you for the dedication and all the time that you guys have been putting in. Larry's brother-in-laws have been also helping out with that, consistently. So again, thanks to them for the work that they're putting in. And to RJ, who's going to be installing the sound system. Remember last year during the annual dinner, we had the big speakers? And if you were sitting up in the front by the speakers, your ears were blowing out. But if you were in the back, you couldn't hear. So we came up with a solution to that problem. So what we're going to do is we're going to have about 6 speakers that are going to be placed inside of the ceiling. And then the sound will be distributed accordingly and appropriately downstairs, hopefully, so that all you can hear all the good things that have to be said. So, all right. I think that's it. Have a blessed week, everyone. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.